looking at it angrily.
Here, you. Run to the nearest garage, will you? Ask a man to come and help us.
Certainly not. You nearly knocked my sister over just now. One of you can go and get help yourselves. You've no business to drive along a country lane like that.
Clear off, then. Unless you want to help us with the wheel. Do you know how to change a wheel?
Yes. Don't you? It's funny if you don't know, as your job is driving a van. I should have thought it would be one of the first things you'd learn.
You shut up and clear off.
Why? You seem very anxious to get rid of us, don't you? Or do you feel nervous that experts like us should watch you making a mess of such a simple thing as changing a wheel?
I think I'll go back and meet George.
Anne walked round the van. She took a quick look inside and saw a little black safe there. A safe? She took a quick glance back at the two men. They were certainly a nasty-looking couple. She went over to Julian and sat down beside him. She took a twig and began to write idly in the thick dust at their feet, nudging him as she did so. Julian looked down into the dust at once. A safe is in the van, Anne had written in the dust. And, as soon as she knew the boys had seen what she'd written, she rubbed her foot over the hurried writing. The three stared at the two men, who were now trying to change the wheel. It was plain that they had never changed one before. Julian caught hold of Anne when she got up to go and meet George.
George may have changed her mind and gone home. You stay with us, Anne.
So Anne stayed, hoping against hope that George would soon appear with Timmy. Why was she so long? She must have gone home, after all. What was Julian going to do? Wait for another car to come along and then stop it and pass his suspicions to the driver? Because the whole thing was very suspicious. Anne was certain that both the safe and van were stolen. Where was George? She'd had plenty of time to borrow scissors, cut her hair and catch them up. Poor George had stood in the cupboard till she was so cramped she could hardly move an arm or a leg. Mr. Pale seemed to have fainted, but she couldn't do anything about it. And then she heard a most familiar and welcome sound. Feet pattered down the passage that led to the back of the shop, and then came a whine. Timmy!
Timmy! Tim! I'm here, in this cupboard! Timmy!
A passerby heard the barking and stopped in surprise. He pushed open the door, which had been left unlocked by the two thieves, and looked inside. He saw Timmy by the cupboard door.
Anyone here?
Yes! Yes! We're locked in this cupboard! Let us out, please! Oh, thank you! Good boy, Timmy.
Oh, poor old Mr. Pales. Let me give you a hand. Police! Police! Yeah, I'll send someone for the police, and a doctor too. You sit down in that chair, Mr. Pales. I'll look after you.
George slipped out of the shop. She felt rather faint after her long stay in the cramped cupboard. She must hurry after the others, tell them what's happened, and get them back to the shop. It was no use going to Windy Cove that afternoon. So she and Timmy hurried down the dusty lane that led from the village to Windy Cove.